I'm Amy Loboda, and my guest co-host today on Attitude Adjustment is Jeb Burnside, who is the editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine and a good friend of mine. How are you doing, Jeb?
I'm doing very well. Had a great day yesterday and a great morning today. And just again, can't thank you enough for the opportunity to be here with you.
Oh,
well, pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. And today I've got some wonderful people here in the room. We have Kitty Banner Seaman and Bob Seaman, who I know through a book project that Kitty brought to me. It was someone else's project. But the someone else was also a good friend of mine, is also a good friend of mine, Ann Cooper. Kitty, Bob, welcome to Attitude Adjustment and welcome to Air Ventured.
Good morning, Amy and Jeb. It is so wonderful to be here at EAA Oshkosh. Just a pleasure.
Yeah. You know, Kitty and Bob got together a long time ago, and it was actually before Bob learned to fly. Is that right?
That's correct. Kitty taught me to fly in 1983.
Wow.
1983. That's amazing. But before she was even a flight instructor, she was a bush pilot in Alaska, in Talkeetna.
Talkeetna, Alaska. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. So her book is kind of an autobiography. And tell us a little bit about how the book project started.
Actually, it was started by Ann Cooper. So she was very interested in telling the story of 75% of my flying was glacier work on McKinley, now called Denali, and bush flying, float flying, a little bit of hunting season as well. So Ann started the project with the help of Kate Sheldon from Talkeetna, Alaska, Don Sheldon's daughter.
And Don Sheldon, as I recall, is a very revered and well-known bush pilot in Alaska.
Very much so. Don has the record of so many flights on the glacier. He really started the glacier flying with the expeditioneers. You're flying German, Austrian, Japanese, French, Italian, Russians, Koreans. But also, he married Roberta Reeve, and Revolution Airways, Bob Reeve, is her father, and he is from Wisconsin. And if you go into the museum here at EAA, and if you walk up to the Wisconsin Pioneer Wall, you will see Bob Reeve, which is really neat.
Yeah, it is neat.
Beautiful plaque I've taken for his family, who has not been able to get here yet. They will.
That's
very
wonderful.
Cool.
Now, Ann Cooper is a biographer extraordinaire. No question about that. As she's been writing aviation biographies for a long, long time. And I know she did a mini one of you in one of her compilation books.
That's right, Stars of the Sky. And that's a wonderful book on 50 aviatrixes. So there are many women involved. And I think it was hard for her to cut down to the 50. But it's a beautiful book that she did. And Sharon Renke did all of the watercolor for the book. So they're beautiful watercolors in the book.
Yeah, and one of them is of your airplane. Which airplane was that?
That was a Cessna 185.
Right,
yeah.
And that was K2 Aviation. Because you really created K2 Aviation, is that correct?
I did. K2 Aviation was started by myself and my partner Kimball Forrest, and Kitty Kimball. So we came up with K2. And it was a great name due to the fact that there were so many international climbers, many of whom did not speak English. And when I first went up there in 1976, I worked for Talkeetna Air Taxi. Mm-hmm. And saved money in my back pocket. I worked as an expediter for Houston Oil Minerals for a year and knew I wanted to get back into air taxi. So went and bought an existing air service prior to the deregulation. There were only three air taxis in Talkeetna. So Kimball and I started K2 Aviation, and I also flew for Cliff Hudson Air. Did a lot of float work for him and some glacier work as well. So although it was very competitive in a very small little village, we all got along, and we would all help the climbers get to and from the mountain. There's weather delays, there's injuries, there's all sorts of problems that arise. So it's the ultimate in single engine flying.
How do glacier operations differ from simply snow operations?
You know, the glacier, when you're coming in to land on the glacier, first of all, you're pretty heavily loaded. And we laugh saying that we can take maybe 3 Japanese or 5 Germans, because at the time everybody sat on their on their backpacks. Everybody had a seatbelt. But of course, the FAA has changed that. Everybody has a seat now, which is much safer. But when you're landing on the glacier, you have to be in the slot. And the slot is where the horizon doesn't go up and down over the firewall. But you are in that slot because as you're landing between crevasses. And usually it's 75% power because you've got an uphill grade with weight. And it's very important at that point to always make sure you've got your 30-minute reserve and all of your fuels in your right tank, because as you climb the glacier with the power
you're
on, you're turning left, and that fuel weight has to be on the right tank. So the worst thing is to get stuck on the glacier.
What's your all-around favorite bush airplane?
You know, I love the Cub. I love the Super Cub. You can go anywhere. We used to go to the Buckskin Glacier, and you fly low, and you fly high, and then you come down and make some tracks, and then you fly around again if you have the room. Some of the glaciers are pretty tight, but you it saves time when you want to get out, that you don't have to snowshoe for another couple hours. Because to get out of the glaciers, if there aren't climbers on the glacier stamping out a little bit of a runway for you, you've got to stamp it out yourself,
right.
And you're in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I've spent some time with self-loading freight in the back of a Super Cub on
yes,
floats, and
yeah,
yeah, just lots and lots of fun.
Absolutely, and I used to get, we'd stuff the airplane, and then they'd stuff around me, and then close the door, and I'd be off. But no, that and the 185 was great. It's changed now, where they're flying otters and beavers.
Right.
A lot of turbine operations
turbine
up
otters.
On the gliders.
Absolutely.
Glaciers now.
Yes. So it makes the ski tracks very different if you're flying in a
Ooh,
smaller airplane, right?
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Has the caravan made any inroads?
Not there. Not on the glacier. But it's an important airplane,
sure.
For sure, aircraft in Alaska.
Yeah, I see it a lot on floats in Alaska.
Yeah.
And amphib, because it's got the power to... Amphib floats are so much heavier than straight floats. You've got to have a really powerful airplane.
Right.
There goes your useful load.
Yeah,
right.
And you know, that's interesting, because float flying and glacier flying is somewhat similar, because oftentimes you have that lack of depth perception. Mm-hmm. So if you're landing in Alaska and it's real calm, you're kind of landing with the trees for some visual. When you're landing on the glacier, it's all white everywhere you look. So the climbers will put wands out, and oftentimes garbage bags. Don Sheldon used to throw out spruce boughs, and that would give him depth of the snow and also slope.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
As you can see, it's once you get Kitty going, she can talk about this for hours and hours and hours. And Bob actually ended up doing a lot of the editing on the book, because Anne was so good about documenting all of these amazing stories, but wrangling them into a product that everybody can read. That's really been a lot of Bob's job.
Well, coincidentally, before Kitty and I met, my parents and my sister-in-law, my sister and her and brother-in-law bought property in Talkeetna, Alaska in 1969. And so we got together and met. That was kind of a bond. So I then fortunately was up there with Kitty through the end of her career and all of her flying, and knew Talkeetna already. And so the stories came together for me easily because I had been there. And so my role in this became, first of all, the foot in the back, after all her friends had said, please do this book, and kind of said, we need to do this, and gathered all the boxes, put it all together, and Kitty went through logbooks and her diaries, and we started the project, and Anne stepped in, and that's why I had the information at hand to help put it together.
Now, where are you going to be on the field where people can find you and find out when this book is coming out?
Well, I talked to the publisher, Finney Company, and he has Pogo Press and also Eco Press. So they are doing a final edit now, and they're putting all the photographs together.
There are a lot of photographs, aren't
they? They have about 250 photographs, so wow. I think there's a bit of editing to be done. But it's a great operation out of Apple Valley, Minnesota. And so I'll be working with him, and we're expecting probably before Christmas, fall to Christmas.
Okay. Is there going to be a website where people can get more information?
We're working on that right now. Pat Peoples, a very good friend in Vail, Colorado, is working on that as we speak. So.
Outstanding.
That's really exciting. Kitty Banner Seaman, Bob Seaman, thank you so much for taking the time to coming over to EAA Radio and speaking with us about your new book. And we are really looking forward to see it coming out.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Deb. Great to see you. And this is going to be a fun venture.